June 7th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This Sunday is the start of Ramadan.
We're heading to Mecca, baby.
Let's go to Mecca. Let's do it.
We're going.
I think I might go to Austin, Texas instead.
Well, have a good time there.
Yeah, I think
that's
I will.
Right. The Mecca of the South.
The Mecca of the South. Yeah, I think that's their new tourist tagline right there. The Mecca of the South.
Well, I think Texas has all the great taglines. Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah.
Which is basically keep Texas clean.
Right.
Oh, Texas? Like a whole other country?
Yeah, it is. It is like a whole other country. It's going to be fun.
Oh, it's awesome.
Don't
I love,
you love
Texas.
Summer? I love summer.
Everybody loves summer.
What's your go-to summer movie?
On Golden Pond.
On Golden Pond is your annual summer movie.
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me. Think about that. It doesn't exactly take place in the summer, but the idea of the boys walking around the neighborhood and find, hey, want to go see a dead body? That's I mean,
I you know, there's a lot of movies that take place during the summer, yeah. And there's all sorts of great themes.
We put a poll up on Twitter, and the results are in, and Caddyshack was voted the summer movie of our listeners.
Caddyshack?
Don't you love Caddyshack?
Well, who doesn't love Rodney Dangerfield? or Chevy Chase when he was really, really funny.
All of them. You get a bowl of soup with that hat.
And then, of course, you got Bill Murray playing... playing golf with the flowers.
That's right. It's a great movie. It's a classic. There's so many classics from our youth that now become a part of our summer ritual. Caddyshack and Meatballs are my number one and number two, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, Meatballs, I don't know if is... well, I enjoy watching it, especially as a youth. That certainly it would not be made today on the same, like...
Oh, absolutely. That's very 70s. It's very dated.
So tell me how many counselors have feel comfortable hooking up with the other... well, I guess they did with the other counselors.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that still happens.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, anyway.
And the witty guy doing morning announcements, I think I know that guy.
And then we had, you know, Dirty Dancing and Where the Boys Are and all
there
those...
Oh,
that's actually Spring Break. But anyway, we had all those other movies we were talking about actually last summer,
yeah,
during one of the shows.
So. Seems like we did this last summer.
Wow, look at that. Good stuff.
That's what we get for doing 2 years in a row. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and I sat down and watched a couple of Scarlett Johansson movies.
Well, there you go. It sounds like you're going to go through a Scarlett Johansson festival.
I would absolutely buy a ticket to the Scarlett Johansson Festival.
Well, you saw Avengers like a couple weeks ago,
right?
Didn't you?
And I remember a couple weeks ago, I watched like three different Avengers movies in a row getting mm-hmm. ready for Captain America Civil War.
Sure.
She is such a great character in that.
The glue that holds it together.
No doubt. I watched Ghost World from 2001. This is one that I hadn't seen before.
I had seen this a long, long time ago. Was this her first debut?
I think it was the movie that she really sparked in. I don't know if it was her first, but it was one of the first that she had a starring role, her and Thora Birch. Mm-hmm. This is a comic book turned into a movie.
Sure.
Interesting, eccentric high school kids having the summer after graduating from high school and all sorts of fun adventures. Again, those kids walking around town adventures that we like in the summer.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Steve Buscemi this also.
Weird Steve Buscemi shows up, and he is the model of what these eccentric kids could be as an adult. And they get a nice relationship going between all these eccentric weirdos, and they find happiness in a way that's not the typical happily ever after ending of a teen movie.
Sure. And now I'm going from memory, and it's from a long time ago. I remember, I think I enjoyed this film. So I would say, go ahead and watch it.
I absolutely enjoyed this one. It went a little slow at the beginning mm-hmm. until the first act was over and we got to the character development enough that I cared enough about the characters. Then it really took off.
Oh, excellent.
The other one I watched, speaking of taking off, was the 2014 Lucy.
I remember seeing this.
This is another Scarlett Johansson. She has... weird chemicals implanted in her by the bad guys who want her to be a mule, and the bag bursts and she gets all the powers. She's got 100% of her brain can be used, and where we mere mortals only have 10%.
Oh, that's right. I don't even think that's even
bad
true.
Science. No, yeah, it's not even true.
But the point was that she does become like the Supra.
Mm-hmm.
Did they give away the ending?
No, I think that's the premise. I think that's the trailer. She becomes a super person.
Okay. Well, this was an interesting movie. Kind of philosophical, if I remember.
A little bit philosophical. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about evolution and how Lucy, that creature that we found that wasn't quite human enough, and how we have evolved from there and where we could go for the future.
Kind of like mutants. She became a mutant.
She was very much a very similar character to her Black Widow character in the Avengers. Very, very similar. You got to see an action movie. You saw Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
I did. As most Tom Cruise movies are, I rarely see them when they first come out. And I rent them or get them through Netflix or something like that. And then they sit around. And eventually I ended up watching them. And I go, wow, this was a fun film. I enjoyed this. This had a wonderful cast. It had Tom Cruise in it. It had Simon Pegg, which we know as many of the fun characters, especially right now coming out with Star Trek Beyond.
Oh, that's coming up, isn't it?
And then we have Hawkeye in it also. So, you know it's going to be a great film.
Hawkeye. I love how you always have the X-Men or Avengers character in your head, and that's the name of that person. That's Jeremy Renner is the name of the actor.
Well, if you haven't seen this film, this is sort of a, I would say, modern day James Bondish type of spy thriller. It's certainly not a true story, but it's got great special effects, and they're physical. I mean, there's a plane scene that starts off this movie that is incredible. Basically, they strapped Tom Cruise to the plane, and they took it off.
Yeah, it's a real stunt. Tom Cruise really did that stunt for real.
Yeah.
And they've used it on everything they could possibly use it on since.
Well, I enjoyed this film. If you haven't seen it, you will not regret it. Tom Cruise films, like I said, I rarely see them when they first come out. When I see them, I go, wow, that was fine. I had a good run there.
Yeah, I like his science fiction stuff. I'm not a big action movie fan in general. If it's not sci-fi, I generally don't see it. I haven't seen many of the Mission Impossible films. I haven't seen this one.
I think I've seen them all. I've never seen one in the theater.
There you go. Coming to the theater this week, opening this week, we've got Now You See Me 2.
Now You See Me 2.
Yes.
If you remember the first one.
I do.
Oh my goodness, have Woody Harrelson in it?
I love Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson is a true actor. He has done so many great roles since being on Cheers and being the dummy on Cheers.
And Lex Luthor also is starring in this.
Good. And Harry Potter's in there.
Harry Potter's in there.
And we've got the March of the Penguins narrator. He's in there.
That's right, Morgan Freeman. This is about magic and illusion. And if the first one, the illusions get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And it's a heist movie. The first one was a heist movie and about illusionists. And boy, did that work really. Oh, and the Hulk's in this one, too.
Oh, that's right. Ruffalo's in this. Oh, that's right. And the Hulk. And David Banner. No, Bruce Banner.
One of them. I really like the first one. If you haven't seen Now You See Me, I really recommend it. I love illusionists. I love the idea of magic and putting it into a heist movie the way that they put it together in the first one was amazing, and I expect big things out of this one.
Well, in the trailer, they've got the bad guys who got duped the last movie somehow dupe our magicians, and they wind up in China. That's kind of in the trailer.
Yeah.
How did they do it? Well, at some point they'll tell us the secret.
If I remember right, they revealed some of the secret in the credits in the first one, didn't they, on this one? Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie. But
no, I think they revealed them as part of the, like, as you unwound the story.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I loved it.
These are always fun. I look forward to seeing this.
The next one's called Genius. This is the biography of Thomas Wolfe. It's a dramatization of the biography of Thomas Wolfe. Thomas Wolfe here is played by Jude Law, and Nicole Kidman's along for the ride.
That's right. We have Jude Law and Nicole Kidman in it.
There you go.
So, you know it's going to be interesting.
And it's all about people from the South.
Well, it's about the editor of Scribner, and Thomas Wolfe is played by Jude Law, and he's talked Southern the entire time. He's trying to get his story written, and it's very, very long. So I guess it's about editing.
Yes, this is a movie about editing. Hopefully it'll be great. I don't know a lot about Thomas Wolfe, but maybe I'll find out when I watch that movie.
Exactly. Well, it looks like the editor of Scribner had worked with F. Scott Fitzgerald, worked with Ernest Hemingway, and this was the latest greatest of the writers of that time. So this could be an interesting story. Well, anyway, we'll learn a little bit.
The other one's called De Palma. This is a documentary about writer and director Brian De Palma.
And all the movies he made.
All those movies.
So we get Carrie and Scarface.
Scarface is about the only one that I know.
Well, anyway, he's got a very distinctive look to it. This is a celebration of his work, and also looking at what makes him as a unique director. We get these every year or every 6 months or so about somebody. I look forward to watching this and learn a little bit about this guy.
From the trailer, he certainly had his opinions, and he's a very opinionated kind of person and may have butted heads with a lot of people in Hollywood to get those great movies the way they are.
Well, there were a lot of unique directors at the time. I mean, you know how meticulous that Kubrick went with his movies. Mm-hmm. And De Palma's got just a little bit different flavor. So, good stuff.
That summer feel of the kids running around is embodied in our next movie. It's called King Jack.
King Jack. This looks like the Stand By Me of the summer.
Yeah.
Definitely sort of a short story about a couple kids growing up.
In a rough neighborhood, and the one kid gets beat up, and then all of the childhood life ensues.
It's not The Bodyguard, though. It's not that movie.
Right. It's not My Chauffeur.
Exactly. Anyway, this I look forward to seeing this. This is definitely a young person's type of film, kind of coming of age type of look to it. It should be an interesting film.
Those are usually pretty interesting.
This is a limited run also.
The next one's called Len and Company. This is a rock and roller who has gotten kind of outside of the rock and roll and trying to be a family man, and his family fighting and all sorts of fun and scary arguments happen with this guy.
Well, it's like it's a comedy. It's about a music producer who just kind of separates himself from the music industry that he had been part of for so long. And this seems like it wouldn't be too off if you've toured or put together music for a period of time. Maybe you get a burnout type of feeling. And he consistently tries to divorce himself from his previous life, and then says the inappropriate things to the children in the trailer.
There you go.
Maybe his son. It looks like his son has a band. And will dad ever listen to the music to get him where he needs to go? That may be the story here. This looks like kind of a charming, fun soul story.
Yeah, that sounds like if I had taken whatever rock star of the time and fast forwarded 20, 30 years, is he still in love with the idea of rock and roll?
Well, it seems like more of a period piece, because rock certainly doesn't have the level, or as we would consider classic rock, doesn't have the type of touring that we're used to. And when we do see them, like Guns N' Roses said that they're going to tour, and AC/DC is touring, it's more of a nostalgia play. And not a young person's play right now. So maybe that changes over time. But this is looking back at that fun time and these characters.
Brings us to our appetite or app of the week, and it's vacation time. It's time to go and be a part of the zeitgeist of some other town. And Airbnb is an interesting way to do that.
Airbnb. So Airbnb is an app. So you go to the site and you can pick out somebody's home, somebody's apartment, somebody's home they've set up as an apartment, and air bed and breakfast type thing. Mm-hmm. So depending upon the place you go to, most of them don't have breakfast, but I'm sure you can order whatever you needed to have it ready for you.
This is the alternative to staying at a hotel. If you're going on vacation and you don't like staying at the same hotels over and over again, this is kind of like a bed and breakfast. We don't do a lot of bed and breakfasts in this country. When we went to Europe as a family, we always stayed at bed and breakfasts in Europe.
Well, there's definitely a tradition of bed and breakfasts anywhere you go, but this is a way that you could take maybe a room in your home. Mm-hmm. Like they wanted to come out here and spend the time in our neighborhood. But it allows you typically to get closer to where you want to be, and possibly less expensive, possibly more unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have exotic places and everyday places. In fact, in New York City, you may get just a place you can crash for the evening.
Yeah.
But they got 1.5 million locations in 34,000 cities.
That's a lot.
This has quickly become an alternative to traveling and a place to stay. I can tell you that even putting this together, that the CEO has come out and there's been some challenges to how this works. I mean, when you go to a hotel, there are some laws on how, you know, how the emergency escapes go, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not that there isn't in a home, but it's on a different level
right.
than it is for something like this. And he said, you know, I think it's fair to criticize us for recognizing this is kind of blurring commercial enterprise, which it is a commercial enterprise, with, you know, a person's private residence.
Yeah, we always bring up Uber when we talk about this. This is the same problems that Uber has with a private vehicle being used for a commercial means. Here we have a private home mm-hmm. being used for a commercial means. Where is the line and what laws apply?
And although it's unusual, there have been homes that have been destroyed mm-hmm. by having people staying in them. Every once in a while you read about them. And Airbnb is very conscious of that. And if you are a person who has done something like that, they will quickly ban you.
That's right. That is the benefit of both the Uber system and the Airbnb is you get a rating for your mm-hmm. use of the service, both as a consumer and as a provider. So both ways can be rated. And if you are not playing by the rules, you're not going to play the game.
All right. So this has been adopted very much like Uber has been adopted or Lyft has been adopted. But let me give you some of the dark side of it. And there was an article we found from Reykjavik in Iceland. And if you were a person who lived in Reykjavik and needed to rent out a room, it's almost impossible to do so now because almost all those homes all those rentals have turned into Airbnbs. They're basically, you know, rent for the night. Well, that makes it very difficult for a community if you're not an owner of a home.
And it changes a community. When a community is full of rentals, it's certainly different from an ownership model.
It is, but the idea with Airbnb is that not every place in your community is a rental, mm-hmm. that there's only a few dropped in there. But for this, what we're talking about is like every place becomes a rental and every place becomes an overnight stay. And very similar to the challenges they have, say, in Vail, Colorado, where they had to build housing. There's this very exclusive group of housing and people who are going to Vail, but they needed people to work in Vail. They actually had to build housing because there wasn't going to be any housing for this group of people. So they built apartments for people who work in the restaurants and who work in the ski lift and ski instructors and things of that nature who can live there year round. It's going to be interesting how this eventually plays out. We're kind of in the tweener stage where the growing pains of it. Mm-hmm. Eventually we'll get what the rules have to be able to be a provider. But right now they're pretty liberal and you can have a fun time.
There you go. That's what summer's all about. Summer's all about having a fun time, going somewhere, being somewhere other than home, and enjoying yourself for at least a short amount of time. Get out there. Stop listening to podcasts all the time. Well,
listen to podcasts as you go.
There you go. There's your road
Catch
trip.
Catch up on all those podcasts that you missed.
There you go.
And speaking of podcasts, you got a chance to talk to the producers of Will You Accept This Rose, the Chicago-based improv troupe that is putting on a show based on The Bachelor every Friday night in June and July. Let's give that a listen.
What an exciting time for us today. We have two special guests. We have Allie Keller, who is a Virgo, Cassie Bellick, who is a Gemini, and they are currently going to be performing at an improvised parody called Will You Accept This Rose? This will be downtown at the Under the Gun Theater in Wrigleyville. And let's welcome our special guests.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, tell us a little bit about this show.
This show is an improvised parody of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. What we do is we take the structure of the show, The Bachelor, and we kind of break it down. We have guest appearances by former contestants on The Bachelor who come on stage and we interview them about their love life, and then we show an improvised version of their love life on stage. So we we have one gentleman playing The Bachelor usually, and 4 to 5 ladies playing the contestants, and they will take inspiration from the initial interview and really make these big characters, and at the end of every show, someone will get proposed to, for sure.
Oh, excellent. So maybe we'll have a marriage.
Oh, yes, yeah. They're all binding, so it's very complicated.
We make them get married afterward.
Yeah.
That's right. It's an immediate flight to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
There's no backing down. Alcohol is involved. So give me an example of how you kind of decided this was the type of show that you wanted to parody.
Well, so Erin Deal is our third member who's not sitting with us right now, but she had the idea for the show, and she brought it to me to help direct, and she thought of The Bachelor as a Herald format, which, if you're not familiar, the Herald is an improvised format where there are essentially three beats to three different stories. So you'll have a first scene that's kind of like beginning of a story, and then a second scene that's beginning of a second story, and a third scene that's the beginning of a third story, and then you watch those play out, and eventually they all converge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she kind of came to me with this recipe and said, I want to try and do this, and I thought, that's wonderful. Let's absolutely do it. And it kind of went from there. And Cassie came on to help us with our media and our booking and just general cheerleader and yes. helping us stay sane.
Yeah, and Erin is a Bachelor super fan, as am I, and Allie is getting there.
I'm working.
It was very easy to say yes to this because I have so much fun watching the show, and I've had so much fun watching them do the show for a few seasons. I was really happy for them to bring me in for season 4.
And so they whisk them off to some exotic location with beautiful foods and beautiful drink and do something truly adventurous and then see if they fall in love. I guess that's how the Bachelor and Bachelorette works.
Right. Well, my theory on the show is that they don't feed them and only give them alcohol. We saw an episode where they actually showed them eating, and it was the first time they've ever showed it. So my theory went out the window.
Well, they're all good looking. I mean, it's like the prime year. It's like they're 25 and 24 or whatever. Is the audience involved with this? Are they watching? Are they participating in this?
I'm glad you mentioned that in the show they bring the contestants to exotic places, because we actually take suggestions from the audience members. At the beginning of the show, we give them slips to say, what is the most fun date you've had, or like the weirdest date you've had, write down the location. And then our improvisers use that as suggestions for the dates of the scenes that they do. So a lot of times we get a lot of my mom's basement. So our improvisers have to kind of create an exotic scenario out of some very mundane places, which creates for great comedy.
The Daily Center, Rahm Emanuel's office. That's what they're start right there.
I don't want to go on a date there.
Well, I noticed that you're going to have a lot of special guests. So each show is going to have a person who has participated in The Bachelor or Bachelorette at some point.
Yes, we have a few alumni from The Bachelor or Bachelorette. And then this year, we wanted to expand our search to people, you know, famous bachelors in Chicago in general. So we actually have Day Nice from B96 joining us this year, and also Ryan Cheverini, who's a co-host of Windy City Live. So we opened it up a little bit to people not necessarily in the Bachelor franchise. We're excited about that.
And there is a surprise guest for the last showing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well, as you may or may not know, The Bachelorette just started up as we're starting this, so we're hoping to coincide with that. I won't give away too much, but we're hoping to take advantage of that.
And so this show is going to be every Friday in June and in July.
Mm-hmm. Every Friday in June and July, 9 p.m., except for June 23rd?
24th. June, 24th. Yeah.
Yeah, except for June 24th at Under the Gun Theater right in Wrigleyville, right by the Addison Red Line stop.
And online, how would they find more information about you?
We're at underthegunstheater.com is where you can find tickets to purchase under our show title, Will You Accept This Rose? But if you want to know more about the cast, which I know you did, willyouacceptthisrose.weebly.com. So you can learn more about our cast and the different people we've had, the different guests, and we actually do a podcast at the end of each show where we just do a Q&A Because a lot of times people come to just see the old Bachelor contestants. They have like a huge following. So we do a 10-minute podcast Q&A, and everyone can just ask them any questions they have about being on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Or their lives.
That's what they're really there for. They're there for the gossip. We had James on in our last run, and she came on, and I don't know if you watched the show, but there was a lot of controversy with this other contestant, Jubilee, and she spilled some of her secrets. So it was great as a fan to just hear them dish about stuff. So,
well, they've got a whole different experience because it sounds like when you're on this type of show, that they're creating a script for you. So if you are the mean girlfriend or the super nice person or the bubbly person or the drunk, they will make sure you look that way through a television show.
It all comes down to the edit, and, you know, producers feed them certain lines or have them say certain lines or encourage them to say certain things, and then you're edited a certain way that you don't really have control over. So that's another thing that our guests have come on and talked about, is how they were edited or how they were portrayed or what their experience was outside of just what we saw.
Well, imagine if you were not portrayed that positively. You still have to go back in life and work.
Absolutely.
And I'm a spouse.
You know, I've read interviews and talked to different Bachelor alumni, and for them to watch themselves on the show every week and see a version of themselves that is not them, I mean, that must be a horrible experience, I would think.
It must be like all those MTV guys on Real World.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my wife is very excited about this. She's putting together our neighbors. It looks like that they will be heading down to one of your shows, which means that I may get to go with her, so I wouldn't go by myself.
You'll have a great time. If you watch the show, if you don't watch the show, it's hilarious and it's a fun time either way.
And live theater, and especially improv, is an exciting time anyway. Anything can happen.
Exactly.
All right, well, we want to thank you so much for coming to visit us on. We have Allison and Cassie, and you can find out more about them at willyouacceptthisrose.weebly.com, or you can go to Too Much Scrolling in our Facebook page, and we will put them under our current show. Have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brings us to our book at our book of the week, and you are still going through the classics here.
I am. I read To Kill a Mockingbird this weekend.
Nice.
And so I got to practice my Southern.
you love practicing your Southern.
So, in fact, that's exactly what I do. I cannot help but read these, and everything kind of slows down. You're going, well, Scout and Atticus Finch. This takes place in 1935 in Alabama. And this is a classic story.
Absolutely.
It's about 60 years after the Civil War. That's a good way of putting it. 1865 is the end of the Civil War. 1935 is where we are. We still have the great divide between black communities and white communities. In fact, we don't just have a divide between black and white. There's all different types of people and how they relate to each other. So this is a time before where everyone doesn't live in New York City. These are small rural areas, and we have the Yules, who live out by the trash dump, who rarely bathe, only show up to school on the first day of school, and never show up again. Then we have the Cunninghams. I think they you couldn't lend anything to them. I'm trying to think of what the teacher did. Was going to lend them a quarter to get lunch, and no, they don't have enough money for lunch. So, you know, we're right during the Great Depression time. And then we have Atticus Finch, who is our lawyer and the father to Scout and Jim. And he gets to take on a unique case in the second part of the book, where it's a rape case. And what we learn is this black man who has an injured arm was accused of raping this lady. But it looks like that's not the case. In fact, as the facts are released, Atticus is very skilled at asking questions. And it's obvious to the reader that he is not guilty. But it still comes back as a guilty verdict. Or two characters we're following, these two young people who sat up and watched this trial take place. They're a little jaded by it. So Scout and Jim are a little jaded. Atticus is not so much. I think he's our attorney. I think he's recognized that things have improved quite a bit, and things will continue to improve. But for a young child, where, you know, the truth is the truth and false is false, you know, that's a terrible way to get jarred into a reality where an innocent man was basically railroaded into a guilty conviction. I really, really love this book. I think I read it in high school, maybe freshman year.
And now that you're a more mature reader, it's certainly a different story to you a little bit.
It is. And what I got from it, and I said earlier that we were watching a movie that's kind of Stand By Me-ish. This is definitely some of that. This is a young person's coming of age. Mm-hmm. And while it takes place in Alabama, and the South is a very colorful area to write any type of book, mm-hmm. This could have easily been written about our little town. Not that we have racist things going on to it, but what I'm suggesting is that these characters are just like the everyday Joe out here in the Midwest. So I really, really love this book. I'm really sorry that Harper Lee did not write more. And then we had the prequel that was released last year, mm-hmm. before her death. And the story was that she had initially introduced this book, the Watchmen book, mm-hmm. and the editor said, well, we're not interested in this story, we're interested in this other story, and that's where To Kill a Mockingbird came out.
So that is a classic. That summertime is good for going back and reading some of those classics.
Sure, and I would say that if you are a person with a family and you've got young people, this is a story that can be read as a family. This is certainly not so harsh of story that you couldn't read it as a family. The one thing, very similar to Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, there is the N-word that gets used in it. It's fascinating that this gets thrown around. It certainly doesn't get thrown around in polite society, but it just seems sort of how the conversation is. It's not overwhelming. It's not, it jars you when you see it, but mm-hmm. I would say that it's probably less than 10 times in the story. But every time you hear it, you go, oh, well, I wouldn't talk that way. And anyway, I would recommend you could read it as a family. Very good book.
Very good. Brings us to our Now the News. This, it's summer. Let's get out and do something.
We only live in a world-class city.
That's right. Chicago is one of the best cities in the universe.
In the universe. In the multiverse.
Oh, I don't know about the multiverse. There's some there's some pretty amazing cities out there in the multiverse. But here in this part of the world, Chicago's one of the great places to go. You've got so many things available to you. There's all sorts of art expositions that are happening this summer.
Sure. Over at the Art Institute of Chicago, it looks like they're going to have they've taken many of the works they already have, and they've put together a exhibition on 1930s.
Right in that To Kill a Mockingbird lifestyle.
Sure. And what our curator has told us is that there were so many amazing styles during this time. We have things like Edward Hopper's Nighthawks, which is a classic print. In fact, that's one of the things about the Art Institute is that when you go there, you go, I know that picture, that picture, that picture. It really is a who's who of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you are not in Chicago, if you're at the Whitney Museum in New York, there is a sister exhibition there. So for our listeners in New York, I mean, what do you know? You get to see their version and then come to Chicago and see our version.
And there's plenty of classical concerts in Chicago as well.
Well, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra is available. Then there's opera events, there's jazz band events, there's all sorts of choirs and things like that. There's always a show to find. In fact, we should mention that as we mention these things broadly, if you go to our notes for this show, you can click through and actually you can find specific events that you want to find. So it's a great time.
Including the huge calendar events at Ravinia.
Who doesn't love Ravinia?
That's great.
You take a little, you sweat mm-hmm. because it's really hot. You take your bottle of wine, you get your little postage stamp on the lawn, mm-hmm. or you can sit down with all the people who pay full price.
Oh, yeah, I've never done that.
But typically what you'd end up doing is you have a picnic and you mm-hmm. listen to some rock and roll band and some singer or they've got everything, country, you name it.
Yeah. Their calendar is amazing. The number of different acts that are coming. There's Paul Simon is on there. And then the next week, there's Seth MacFarlane coming and doing a singing act. Do you know that?
I did. Yeah. I saw that. It's awesome.
It's great. Duran Duran is coming to town.
Exactly. And if you've ever driven to Ravinia, the first thing I would say is try to take the train because, man, you'll get... I could not imagine living in that community. How would you ever get home?
Yeah, I would definitely suggest public transportation to Ravinia. Ravinia is a great time in the summer. Chicago is so amazing for all this stuff.
Ravinia is a great place to go see wonderful concerts and stuff like that. But downtown, the Park District, Chicago Park District, they put on big concerts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another spot to go and hang out, go to the Arts Institute during the day, and then head over to Grant Park. And watch a something, whatever the concert is of the day.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Or we could head over to the Shakespeare Theater. There's so many things going on for Shakespeare's 400th anniversary this year in Chicago.
And there's events going on all across the Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm.
So Yo-Yo Ma is coming, and I was going, well, Yo-Yo Ma, what is he doing? Well, he's playing music of that era.
Nice.
So
get the dulcimer out.
Exactly. And then you have, Shakespeare in the Park and all the other types of festivals. I think there's like a rapping version of a Shakespeare play.
Oh, sure. You could do all sorts of hip hop. You could do Othello hip hop.
It would be like watching Hamilton rapping, but this time with Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of those. My one of my favorites is the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I don't think they're coming around to Chicago this year, but the Reduced Shakespeare Company does a great hip-hop section where they do the sonnets. It's fun stuff. And, of course, you can stop by the museums. We've got so many great museums here in Chicago, and there's free museum days all throughout the summer.
Well, especially for Illinois residents. So they'll set them up, and each museum... You have to figure out when they have their time for it. Like I said, in our notes, you can click through and you can find it. But there are other museums that have no cost to go see them. So you can explore explore some of the history of the area.
Including going down to Springfield and taking a little road trip and going to see Lincoln's home in Springfield.
Now, if you go to the National Park District, Lincoln's home, where they've reproduced, I think it's... maybe like four blocks.
There's quite a bit of space, yeah.
Sure. I mean, they brought it back to the time where Lincoln lived in that era.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful situation. But anyway, if you go down there, that's the only national park in Illinois. But it's also the 100th anniversary of creating the National Park Service.
There you go.
So there you go. You can go down and you can get your Teddy Roosevelt on as you're getting on your Abraham Lincoln.
There you go. Too bad President's Day already passed. But yeah, there's some great history there.
You can become the Rough Rider going through Springfield.
Nice. The big bushy mustache.
The Springfield Rough Riders.
There's so much to do. It's summertime. You can we've got block parties.
Head to the zoo.
Oh yeah, you can. Oh, and baseball. We don't talk about baseball enough.
Well, the as wonderful as the White Sox are playing right now,
and the Cubs.
Well, the Cubs are playing at an incredible pace right now. It seems like every game that I kind of flip on, it's like 0-0, then it's 5-0. Because the Cubs just like are slapping the ball around.
Nice.
It really is it's a special time to be a Chicago baseball fan. And if the Cubs win the World Series, we'll see if the city can survive.
It's always fun to watch from afar.
There'll be a cow kicking over a bucket, and pretty soon it's like burned to the ground or something.
I think we've already done that once.
Well, there's beaches here in Chicago. Yeah. There's boating.
What
I mean,
a great city.
One of the things that we did one year was we took a boat out, and we took it right off where a concert was playing in the city of Chicago, and they will anchor there, and you can listen to the music because of the way it kind of bounces off everything. It was great. My daughters have asked to do that again this summer.
That's great. Take some time. Find a way. Get a vacation. Find an Airbnb. Go enjoy life. That's what it's all about. Not the hokey pokey.
Not the hokey pokey?
I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. I think we can set a time where we're actually going to do a podcast instead of doing all this vacation.
Well, you know what? We'll come back with a little sunburn, and we'll have a good time.
That's right. If you need more information, there's plenty of ways to find more information. Go to our website, TooMuchScrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. Find out all the information to survive another day. Thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future.